Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Morning, visitors. Glad to have you guys here. It's awesome, awesome. Just praising God, worshiping God. So for hundreds and hundreds of years, this one question has been posed. What is the meaning of life? A philosopher will give you one answer. A historian will give you another answer. And some guru sitting up on a mountain will give you a completely different answer. But all those thoughts are pretty much, they come with this within the scope of the individual person. Individually, they think what life should be for everybody, and they put their ideas out there. Yet, God had an intelligent purpose in creating us. His intelligent purpose is the meaning of life. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Let's start with Isaiah 43:7. We looked at this one in our Bible study this morning. This is God speaking. God says, "Everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made." You see the little underlined word there, everyone? That pretty much means everybody? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The main purpose that God created us and put us here is to bring Him glory. And the main purpose for our life here, living here, is to get there. That's the whole bottom line. That is the whole bottom line. It's a pretty simple setup, right? God said, here, I'm going to make it easy for you guys. Look at Ecclesiastes 7:29. God made us plain and simple, but we have made ourselves very complicated. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? God laid out a specific way for us to live and for us to get to be with Him. But many, many people have twisted it. They've added to it. They've taken away from it. It's sad. God said, look, my purpose is simple. It's very simple for you guys. I've made it so simple for you guys to follow. But so many people twist it the wrong way. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Simple. Very simple. And Jesus summed up that verse. Right? He gave us a similar purpose. But when Jesus said it, He said it as a command. Let's take a peek at it. John chapter 13, pick up in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So we can say with confidence right here, the simple meaning of life is to do our best as to love God, love like God, live like God would want us to do. Follow His commands, follow what He requires. And what He requires, guys, is not hard. It's very, very simple that God put out there to follow Him. So with all that thought, let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're going to pick up in verse 19. This is God speaking, by the way. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Think about this. When it comes, really comes down to the whole bottom line of life. And the true fact is there's only two choices in life. There's only two choices. Unless, of course, you're a woman who's shopping for clothes and shoes, then there's like 400,000. But God laid down two choices for us, two choices in life. God laid them out very simply. Life, death, blessing, curse. And He said, you pick. You decide. He tells us right there in Deuteronomy, you decide. I'm not going to force you to do anything. God never forces us to do anything. He doesn't want a bunch of robotic people walking around worshiping Him because we have to. He gave us a choice. He said, here's the choice. Me or the world? Me or the evil one? Life, death, blessings, curse. There's only two choices. And He laid it down. He gave us this free will, and we have got to freely choose. And having that freedom takes us to this thought. The meaning of life is that which we choose to give it. What do you choose to give for your life? What's the meaning that you choose to give for your life? Do you want to live it for God? Do you want to live it for the world? Do you want to live it for the evil one? You want to do what God says? Or you want to follow what the enemy says? You know, once again, life only offers us two choices, live, die, God, devil. Simple. It's simple, simple, simple. So thus far, we've looked at and questioned, what's the meaning of life? Let's look at it from a little different angle here. What is the key to life? What's the key to life? Other than that little metal thing that opens doors, Webster's dictionary gives us two little definitions, two extra little definitions for key. An instrumental or deciding factor. Something that gives an explanation or identification or provides a solution. We just looked at the deciding factor. Two choices. Two choices for our existence here and our existence there. It's up to us to decide which choice. What choice are we going to make? There's only two. God made it very simple. And God's word, the Bible explains him. It identifies him as God, and it gives us the solution to make the right decision and to make the right choice. God didn't write the Bible just because he had nothing else to do. He wants us in that book. And that book is pure, pure truth. It is a solution for our lives. What are we going to do with it? What choices are we going to make? Knowing God is the whole key to life. That's the answer to the question. What's the meaning of life? Knowing God. That's the whole bottom line. God is the only one who knows you intimately. He knows you on a deeper level. He is the only one that knows it. He alone holds the book of your life and the number of your days. He alone does that. You're never going to find true fulfillment in life unless you know who he is. And you can't begin to know what steps to take in your life without him. God is a great guide. He is a great guide. Pray to him. Talk to him. Ask him. You know, listen, church. Don't just know about God. That's simple. I mean, that's real. I mean, you want to get ultra simple? Say, yeah, there's a God. We want to know about God. We want to know who he is. Everything he's done. When we gather together here for our worship service, you know, our primary purpose is more than just singing songs, saying prayers, fellowshipping together, listening to a message. It's more than that. Our main focus is what we just did, the Lord's table, about Jesus Christ and everything that he's done for us. And it's really awesome because when we take that Lord's Supper, we have that quiet time. It's just a couple minutes of quiet time that we can, within ourselves, praise God and thank God for everything that he has done. Thank him for the cross that offers salvation and forgiveness. Thank him for everything he's done. There is so much more that Jesus Christ has done and everything he continues to do for us. There's so much more. 2 weeks ago, there was a scripture that I focused on. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Then I said, there are actually no words in the English language that we know of that can accurately describe everything that Jesus is and everything that he's done for us. And I don't think there's a language on earth that can describe how great Jesus is and how perfect he is, right? Everything he's done, everything he continues to do. It's amazing. God wants to build a relationship with us. God wants us to know him. That's why he put it in a book. So we'd always have it here. He wants us to know who he is. But let me ask you a question. Why is it? Why is it that some people spend their time or their lives, right, trying to be like their idol? A sports star, a musician, an actress, an actor. Whoever, pick one, spending so much time to try to find out all about them just so they can be like them. It would be really great to have the opportunity to ask those people a simple question. What did that idol ever do for you? That idol has no idea who you are. But listen, How about the true celebrity? How about Jesus Christ, the one who knows you deeply and intimately? He knows you better than you know you. He is God. He knows that. He knows that. He wants us to know Him just as deep and just as intimately as humanly possible. He wants us to, He wants that relationship. He desires that relationship. If there's anything we can give to God, the simplest thing we can give to God is a relationship with Him. It's not hard and it's not complex, all right? It's so easy to do. Open the book. Open the Bible. It's all about there. It's all in there. He put it all in there. By reading the Bible, by studying the truths, by praying and talking to Him and listening to Him, He's the perfect, perfect guide in our lives. Go to John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." How's that for intimacy? God coming to live with you. He's not talking about moving into your house. He's talking about here, getting into your heart, being the essence of your being. That's what God's talking about. And what a promise. We will come. We will live with Him. Perfect. Perfect. Simple, simple, simple. But listen, so many people don't know Him. And it's even sadder. Some people don't even care to know Him. That's the sad part. That's the part that hurts Him. Listen, church, He is coming back. Okay? He is coming back. That is a solid, factual truth. He is coming back. And when He does, He's going to be looking for something. Let's look at it. Luke 18:8. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Wow, what a simple question. Simple, simple question. When He finds those who really took the time to know Him, those who have been true and followed His words, those who have built a relationship with Him and have faith in Him, Jesus says, "I will take you home with me forever." Like I said before, you know, our whole purpose for living here is to get there. And God made it simple to do. You know, recall earlier when I said there was two choices? Knowing Jesus, that's the first choice. Let's look at the second one. Matthew chapter 7, pick up in verse 21. This is Jesus Christ Himself talking now. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you.'" I don't care what the worst horrible thing you can ever think about is. There will be nothing more terrifying than Jesus Christ looking someone square in the face and saying, "I have no idea who you are." Let that one sink in, guys. Let that one sink in, because when Jesus Christ appears, you know, he's not going to float these little pamphlets down from heaven saying, "Hey, 2 weeks, I'll be there, get ready." No, man, it's going to be instant. It's going to be instant. And you're not ready. And He says, "I have no idea who you are." That's going to hurt. Not only does it hurt the person, it hurts God. Because He wants everybody to know who He is. That's scary stuff. So listen, the meaning of life is that which we choose to give it. God is the meaning of life. God is the key to life. Bottom line, simplistic. Every meaning has a key that unlocks understanding. Building a rapport with Jesus is the key to unlocking the meaning of our lives. And look, guys, this is a spiritual journey. It's a lifelong spiritual journey. It's not something while you're in it and you're out of it. You're in it, you're out of it. It's a lifelong walk with God. It's not funny. I love those little comments. What an awesome kid. This is an ongoing, powerful relationship. It begins with knowing who the living God is. It begins with baptism into Him. And it ends in eternal life with Him, because His return is getting closer and closer and closer and closer. We can see it in this world. It's a crazy world, man. It's a crazy, crazy world. And there's only one way to live in it. That's with Him. And there's only one way to live out of it. That's with Him. He is all in all. He is God. And He wants nothing more than a great relationship with Him, to get to know who He is. Let me end here with 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? That's a powerful verse. That's a very powerful verse. Build that relationship. Get to know God. He put the book there for a reason. Why? Because He loves each and every one of you. He loves us deeper than we can understand. Deeper than we know, God loves us. And He wants us, and He desires us. All through the Bible, we can see where God says, you know, He's pleading with people. Look, I mean, I did the ultimate thing. I sent you my Son. I put Him on the cross for you guys. Can't you at least return the favor and know who I am? Amen to God. Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we're so blessed and so thankful that You've given us Your Word, because Your Word explains it all. It's pretty simple. Ask, Father God, that Jesus Christ touches each and every one of our hearts. Touches our hearts to a point and says, look, I want to get to know You better, and I want You to know me better. Ask, Father God, for the Holy Spirit's guidance and drive. Drive that is in a person. It's in the very essence of the person to say, I want to know who God is. Because when He comes back, I want to be with Him. We thank You very much, Father God, for the amazing Jesus Christ. The plan You put together is so simple. It's simple to follow. It's us, it's humans that make it so complex. We just ask, Father God, that we look for the simplicity in Jesus Christ, the simplicity in all He's done for us. It's always in His name we pray. Amen. If there's anything we can do for anyone to get them closer to Jesus Christ, come as we stand and sing.